to you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. How many of you can say, this is my story? This is my song. Just praising my Savior all the day long. That's what this is all about, folks. That's what life is all about. I feel like it's time for the Word tonight. I want you to open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Daniel. And I will share with you what the Lord has laid upon our heart. I will try to be very brief tonight, but I feel like this is a message that needs to be preached. I have found over the years serving the Lord, and even I have to say when I first accepted my call to preach and started out in the ministry was in, God help us, a denomination that had a very judgmental spirit about anybody that didn't agree with them, that didn't stand in the same mold that they stood in. And I found out after a few years that that wasn't of God. Amen. And so, actually, just to be honest with you, I'll tell you the truth. Judy and I got thrown out of that denomination. We got asked to leave over the baptism of the Holy Spirit and some other things. We were informed that we were no longer welcome there, and that's okay. That's, if that's the way they want to believe, that's fine. But I found out there's more to serving God than trying to live by a strict set of rules and trying to judge anybody that don't live by those rules. There's nothing of God in that. So I want to share with you tonight something that I feel like that I have worked out over the years, that I understand, that God has revealed to me and shown me, and that I want to share it with you tonight in order that maybe you won't be discouraged the next time the enemy attacks you. Amen? In the book of Daniel, chapter 6, Bible said it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give an account to them, and the king should have no damage. In other words, what Darius the king had done was he had picked 120, I guess we would call them in this day, governors, to set over certain regions of his kingdom. And then he picked a panel of three presidents that those governors were to report to, that were overseeing the kingdom. And the Bible says that Daniel was the first one of them, or the chairman of that three-man committee. And then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Our Father, as we come to you today, I thank you for the privilege and the honor that we have to come into the house of the Lord and to feel the Spirit of God and to know, Lord, that you're with us and that you love us and that you care about us enough to meet with us and to bless us and to touch us. Father, I thank you for that. I ask you now, as we look into the blessed Word of God, that you'd have your way. You know the needs that are present here tonight. I pray, God, that not one person would leave this service with a need unmet. I thank you, Lord, for your promise that you would send those people that need to come to this church. You'd send them from the east and the west and the north and the south. And as we have already witnessed their coming, Lord, and we thank you for that, we pray that we would always be a church with our arms extended and ready to receive those people that you send and to lift them up and to set their feet on the solid rock with your help. And God, we glorify you and praise you for everyone that's here tonight. Pray that you'd have your way in the remaining part of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. That's what I want to talk to you about just for a little while tonight. This statement means that Daniel and the spirit that was in Daniel was a predominant spirit. The spirit of Daniel was uppermost in his life. It was enthroned in his life, that spirit that everybody saw, that King Darius saw, that all the people around Daniel saw, was a spirit that was enthroned and had priority in his life above everything else. And that's how he was able to refuse the king's meat. Back in chapter 1 and verse 8, you'll find that when Daniel was first captured, he was captured with three other young men called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we all know that service of how those three ended up in the fiery furnace for their stance for God. But you'll find, if you'd back up there to Daniel chapter 1, that all of these young men refused the king's meat. They preferred not to eat the king's meat. They preferred not to take of the king's wine. They preferred not to have anything to do with it. That was a choice that they made. I mean, they were in captivity. They were in a foreign land. They could have very well accepted the king's meat, eaten the king's meat. No doubt it was good stuff. Probably the best that they had in that area, the best that they could get, and it was prepared for the king and his servants, and they were going to feed it to Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but they said no. And there's a reason that they said no. Daniel had a spirit within him that allowed him and helped him to say no to whatever was not good for him. And I say to you tonight that you and I can have that same spirit, and that's where I want to go. Daniel said no to the meat from the king's table. He said no to the wine from the king's table. And what happened here was, and the reason that Daniel had this spirit, this excellent spirit within him, because he allowed that spirit to govern his life, control his life. God honored Daniel because of his spirit of excellence. Notice verse 12 and 17 of chapter 1. Let's just back up there and read that. I wasn't going to read it, but I think it's important enough to we ought to. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 12. Listen to what the Bible said. Daniel came to the king's people and he said, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenances of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants." So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. Now, what they did was give Daniel what he wanted for 10 days, because they were going to run a little test, is what we would call today a marketing test. Amen. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. My God, by obeying the Lord, refusing what the world offered or the king offered, they came out better than the people that actually partook of it. How many of you realize that if we get born in the family of God and begin to serve God and refuse what the world has to offer us, that we're going to come out on the winning end? Amen. And not only that, we're going to have an excellent spirit within us. The reason Daniel was able to turn down what the king offered, the reason Daniel was able to come out on top, was because he had purposed in his heart to do what God told him to do. Daniel chose, in other words, to be a man of an excellent spirit. And you and I can do the same thing. Now, I want to show you something tonight. And I really don't have time to get into all this. But the book of Romans, and we should probably sometime just go through the entire book of Romans, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and begin to study it and understand it. But the book of Romans is a very important book in the Bible to modern day Christianity. But I want us just to hit the highlights of that book tonight. You see, when we were born into this world, we were born a Trinity. How many of you know what a Trinity is? That's a threesome. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is a Trinity. When you and I were born into this world, we were born body, which you can see. That's what we dress and adorn and take care of. We also have a soul. That's our emotions, our intellect, our thinking. That soul is what carries everything we've been taught from a baby up to now. But we were also born with a spirit. So we have a body. In that body is a soul, or the soulish realm of your life, and there's also a spirit. Now, when you were born in this world, you were born a dead spirit. How many of you knew that? Because of Adam's disobedience in the garden, the spiritual part of us, that part of us that relates to God, communes with God, and has fellowship with God, was dead. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. So, let me explain something to you. Until you're born again, you are ruled, your life is ruled by your soulish realm. Your emotions, your greed. How many of you know that most people that are not saved are very selfish individuals? They want everything their way. It's all about them. Huh? Do you know people like that? I know people like that. But then there comes a time when we get born again. So let's look. The Bible said in Romans chapter 1, and I just want to hit a few scriptures tonight. In verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Now, how many of you know that the gospel of Christ is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the power of God unto your salvation. But we need to hear that. We need to understand that. That we need to understand that there's only one way that we can be saved. But I want you to flip over tonight to Romans chapter 5. And let's look at some things. Now we know that when we were born, and some of us waited a long time to get a reborn spirit within us. We were taught a lot in the sensual realm or the soulish realm, and a lot of our habits and a lot of the things we did and still do come from that teaching. How many of you know that? But then you get born again in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while ye were yet sinners, Christ died for you." While you were lost, Christ died for you. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when you were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement or reconciliation." So we are brought into a position when we get saved where we're reconciled. Our relationship with God is reconciled. And once again, we have communion with God and we have the ability to commune with God. Verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." So we're all sinners, but we have the opportunity to get saved. Now, I want to ask you something. Most everybody, I think, in here is a Christian tonight. How many of you realize that the day after you got saved, no matter how long ago that was, when you actually came to that point where you gave the Lord Jesus Christ your life, you accepted his sacrifice for your sin, and you got up somewhere, wherever you prayed, and you realized and you understood that you gave your life to the Lord and he saved you because he paid the price for you. How many of you realize the next morning when you got up, you didn't look any different? You didn't feel a whole lot different? And how many of you realize that you went right on to work the same way you had done before you got saved? You went right on doing the same things you did before you got saved. Do you know why that is? You have, if you're first born again, a reborn spirit. A spirit that was dead is now alive in you. But because of your soulish realm, because of all the things you learned in your life, you're going to act the same way you always act. How many of you realize a lot of people backslide the first day because they don't know that they're not supposed to act just exactly like they always did? And they do that. Now, listen, I'm going somewhere with this, so don't back up on me. So the only change in you the day after you got saved was a reborn Christian spirit, or a reborn spirit that was within you. Once dead, now your emotions, your thinking, your intellect, they're dominant in your life. You understand what I'm saying here? Now, I told you Daniel had an excellent spirit within him, and the reason Daniel had an excellent spirit was within him is because the spirit within him was the dominant spirit. Now, when you first got saved, the dominant spirit within you was the soulish realm. The things that you had learned, the things that you had done, the things you had practiced, that was your dominant spirit. If you cursed before you got saved, your dominant spirit's still there. You will curse after you got saved. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying just because your spirit got reborn last night, it didn't change your whole personality overnight. It's going to take some time for that to happen. And I hate to tell you something, but a lot of people, it don't ever come to pass completely in their life. So just because you got saved, the situation is this: your emotions, your thinking, your intellect, they're still dominant in your life. They're still in control of your life. That's why the next morning when you got up, you didn't feel a whole lot different than you did before you got saved. So now you have choices to make. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Listen to this. Now, here is the message to the person that got saved and got a reborn spirit within them. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, how many of you know, as long as you were operating in your emotions and in your intellect, that's what you were doing? You were allowing sin to reign in your mortal body. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but now you're born again, you have a reborn spirit in you. This is your first step. Begin to yield your members unto God. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness from God. So the first step after salvation, after you get reborn, is that you have to come to a point in your life to make a decision that, okay, I was a sinner, but now I'm saved by grace. My first step is to begin to yield my members and my body, my mind, my emotions, everything about me to God, and allow Him to change me. That doesn't happen in an instant. Now, let me take that back. I have seen it where people got saved and there was a miraculous touch from God, and a lot of things changed in their life. But for the most part, you didn't change overnight. The next day you got up, you were still the same old you with a reborn spirit, but now you begin to yield yourself to God. First way you do that is you get into a church where they preach the Word of God, and you begin to learn and you begin to understand the Word of God, and you begin to practice the Word of God. Now, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. Now, how many of you know grace is the unmerited, undeserving favor of God? We didn't deserve it, but God gave it to us anyway. All right, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? How many of you realize and understand that just because you got saved doesn't mean that God is going to force you to yield yourself to Him? You can choose not to. It's going to cost you and it's going to hurt, but you can choose to do it. You can stay in that state with a reborn spirit within you and still yield to your emotions, yield to your anger, yield to your frustration, yield to all the things you used to do. And God will continue to deal with you and try to help you to understand that you need to change and you need to yield yourself to Him and allow Him to teach you and clean you up. But your choice, if your choice is to stay where you are, God will leave you there. Now, I'm going to say something here some of you might not agree with. But once that spirit within you is reborn, it cannot be lost again. Now, hear me, church. When you die, my Bible said, this body is going back to the dust of the earth. But if that spirit is reborn, it's going back to God who gave it. So you can choose to stay where you are. It's not a wise decision, but it's a possible decision, all right? You can still allow your emotions and your thinking and your opinions and your intellect to be the dominant, controlling feature of your life. So you have choices to make. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I hope this puts this scripture in a new light. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, after you get saved, this is what you should do. As a matter of fact, he comes to the point of saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Now, you thought you presented your body when you got saved, didn't you? No, you presented your spirit when you got saved. But now Paul's saying, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Holy, the word holy there, acceptable unto God, which is your what? All right. And be not conformed to your emotions, your desires, your anger, your frustration, your opinions. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed or changed. How? By the renewing of your what? Your emotions, your intellect. That's what you have to renew. That's that part of living for God that is a gradual change. The night you got saved, your spirit got saved. Amen? Your spirit got born again. But your mind has to change. That's why God said, present your body a living sacrifice. But you got to change your mind. Your mind has to be renewed. Those things, those reactions that you used to have to change. Those desires that you used to have must change. And you and I are the person that changes them. How? You present your body a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, let's read the next verse. For I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So change has to come after you get saved to your soul, to your emotions, to your thinking. And that's the process that comes after being born again. See, a man like Daniel, the reason Daniel had an excellent spirit was within him is because he chose to allow God to control his life. He didn't have to do that, but he chose to do that. And a man with an excellent spirit is, first of all, a man of purpose. He purposed in his heart, the Bible said. He chose in his heart, he purposed in his heart to allow God to have the dominant place in his life and to take out his emotions, his desires, his plans, and he allowed God to move into those areas and God to become dominant in his life. And when that happened, he became a man of purpose. He purposed in his heart not to sin against God. And Daniel chose to allow God through the Holy Spirit to dominate his life. That's why Daniel was able to, when the king offered his meat and his wine, Daniel said, no, thank you. He had an excellent spirit within him. He made a choice. And you and I as God's people have to make a choice. You see, purpose lives at the back door of your will. Do you realize that? Every man has a purpose. Everybody in this room has a purpose. God bore you into this world, and He knew you before you were ever born, and He has a purpose for your life. Every person, every man, woman, boy, and girl that's born has a purpose, but it's up to us how far we go with it. And that decision is based on, after we get saved, how much we yield our own will, our own soul, our own emotions to God, and allow Him to change us into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and allow His Spirit to work through us rather than our own choices and our own emotions and our own will coming out. The Spirit of God comes out. Then when that comes, you have an excellent spirit within you. So Daniel not only had that spirit within him, or that purpose within him, he found it, he named it, he announced it, and he stood by it. Those are pretty tall orders, amen? Because you and I have choices to make. God will allow us to choose the direction that we go, how much of God we have, how much of God we allow to rule in our life. We always have that choice in any given situation to make a choice. Allow God to perform through us or react in the flesh. That's our choice all the time. How many of you know when somebody approaches you, they do you wrong or they hurt you? You have two choices. You can allow God's excellent spirit to work through you, or you can react in the flesh. Usually, if you react in the flesh, revenge is the first thing that comes to mind. They did that to me, and I'm going to get even. I don't want you to raise your hand. We've all been there, amen? But until you realize that you have that choice, you're going to react in the flesh most of the time. And believe me, we have some reactions in the flesh. But if we begin to allow the Spirit of God, if we begin to renew our mind and understand, that's why the Scripture teaches us to study, to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word. Because if we don't get in the Word, if we don't get fed the Word of God, if that spirit man that's born again within you doesn't get fed, if it doesn't get the Word of God, it will not grow, and it will never become the predominant spirit within you. You will always keep it suppressed because you're choosing to operate in the flesh. How many of you know that even after we get saved, we have choices to make? You see, that's why people make choices in this life to either obey the Lord or not obey the Lord. And that's why a lot of people struggle with their salvation, because they're in church for a little while and God is feeding, they're feeding their spirit and they're trying to obey it. But the first time something arises in their life, they get angry or they get frustrated or they react the wrong way because of that soulish thing that's within you that's dominant. They get frustrated and don't know what to do, so they just quit. And then they get out. And let me tell you something. A backslid Christian is never comfortable in either world. He's not comfortable in church, but he's not comfortable out there either. How many of you know that's a terrible place to be? So it doesn't take long before he's back and he's on his face before God and he's wanting to start all over again. Now, his spirit never died. It was born again all along, but he made a choice to quit church, to stay out, to quit feeding that spirit. As the old Indian saying says, there's a white dog and a black dog fighting within me. And somebody said, well, which one wins? He said, the one I feed the most. And that's true. You see, Daniel, because he was a man of purpose, it made him a man of prayer. The only way that you and I can allow God to demonstrate an excellent spirit within us is to stay on our face before Him and understand that that's where our power, that's where our knowledge, that's where our ability comes from. And until we realize that it's through power that we get that. See, God is not looking for great men and great women to serve him. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for people who will purpose in their heart to do what he wants them to do and then get on their knees before God and find out how to do it. That's what he's looking for. And he's choosing people that are willing to do that. He'll use you. He'll use me. He'll use anybody who is willing to, first of all, purpose in their heart that they're going to serve him. Second of all, get before God and say, this is me, Lord. What would you have me to do? And then go do it. When the interpretation of the king's dream, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, came to Daniel and they asked Daniel to interpret the dream in Daniel chapter 2, you'll find out the first thing Daniel did was call a prayer meeting. He didn't jump up and say, well, I know what that is. Let me tell you my opinion of this. No. He got his friends together and they prayed and asked God for the interpretation. So an excellent spirit requires purpose. It requires prayer. But I'll tell you something else it requires. And if you are a purposeful person and a praying person, you will have this one. Daniel had a spirit of perception about him. Daniel could perceive the enemy. Daniel could perceive God in his spirit. Daniel understood the things of God because he had learned the things of God as a young man. He had studied the things of God and filled his heart with the things of God. So Daniel was not surprised when the enemy was coming in because he perceived it and he understood it. Perception will give you clarity of vision. You will no longer have clouded vision. A vision of perception enables you to accomplish the work God has chosen you to do. You remember the Bible said, without a vision, the people perish. Your way to a vision is through purpose and prayer. That's the only way you get a vision. The fourth thing that Daniel had, because he had an excellent spirit within him and had made that choice, was that Daniel was a man of power. How many of you read the book of Daniel and understand, and I just read you some of it, that Daniel was placed not only over a providence, but he was placed over the rulers of all the providences. He was placed over the three presidents that were going to rule the providences. How many of you know that if you begin to allow God to work in your life and you make a choice early in your life to begin to serve him and allow God to rule and reign in your life and renew your heart, renew your spirit, and allow God to teach you, that there will come a day when God will put you over a lot of people that are smarter than you. They've got more education than you. They've got more oomph than you. But the people that put you in that position of power recognize one thing about you. You have an excellent spirit within you. You're trustworthy. You're honest. When you give your word, you keep your word. When you say something, they can take it to the bank. You know why? Because you choose to allow God to feed that spirit that was reborn in you to the point where it becomes an excellent spirit. And the things of this world, you yield your emotions, you yield those things that you want to do and your desires, and you allow God to take over your life one step at a time. And that excellent spirit begins to prevail. And that excellent spirit begins to show itself to the world. And people will look at you and they will know when you walk into a room that someone special walked into this room. They may not know your name. They may not have ever seen you before. But there will be something about you. You call it a glow. You call it a aura. You call it what you want to. I'll tell you what it is. It's an excellent spirit within you. Because Daniel had that excellent spirit, he was recognized as a man that could handle the situation no matter what it was. See, the height of courage is not demonstrated on the battlefield when the battle's raging. It's the courage to say no when the devil says, this is what you ought to do. You ought to just yield to your emotions. They hurt you. They insulted you. Why don't you just get mad? No. Let God take care of it. Why don't you just have this little bit of drink or have this little bit of this or that or the other? No. I choose not to eat the king's meat, drink the king's wine, because I want God and his spirit to be dominant in my life and not my emotions, not my choosing, not my way of thinking, not my soulish realm. I want God to have dominion in my life. I want God to guide me, lead me, and direct me. I want to give you two verses of scripture and then I'm going to close. Proverbs 17 and verse 27 says this: "He that hath knowledge spareth his words. A man of understanding is a man of an excellent spirit." Proverbs 25:28, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Folk, until we come to the point where we choose to allow God to work within us and teach us and renew our mind to the things of God and God's way of thinking and God's way of doing things, we will never have an excellent spirit within us. And as long as we don't have an excellent spirit within us, we will always wrestle. We will always be frustrated. We will always come to those points in our life where there are temptations that we yield to and we don't know why. We will always come to those points in our life where anger will flare up for no reason whatsoever. And the reason it happens is because we have not completely yielded our spirit to the Lord and allowed him to bring out and allow to be predominant in our life that excellent spirit. I challenge you tonight. Turn it over to God. Let God take your life. I'm telling you, folks, he can do a better job of it than you and I can anyway. We might as well come to that conclusion. There's so many people, whether they speak it out or whether they don't, that have this attitude: I can handle it. It's my life. I'll live it my way. How many times have you heard those statements? But the truth is, if you give your life to the Lord, it's not yours anymore. You've been bought with a price. The Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for you. So why not just submit it all to him? Give him the responsibility to take care of it. That takes it off your shoulder. You know, that takes one of the biggest loads off your shoulders that you're carrying tonight. A lot of people trying to run the race with a lot of baggage, and one of the things they try to do is carry the responsibility for everything that they do themselves. Let's turn it over to God and allow him to take responsibility for it. And I assure you, if you just begin to renew your mind and begin to study the Word, and don't get frustrated, because it's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to get saved tonight and get up in the morning with a brand new attitude on life and a brand new spirit within you and never do anything wrong again. No, you're not. It's a process. Choices. In every situation in your day-to-day life that you're confronted with, you have choices to make. You either let God rule in the situation or you're going to do it yourself. You do it, you're in trouble. You let God do it, that excellent spirit will become the predominant spirit in your life. And when it does, people will recognize you as somebody special, somebody that God has his hand on.